Well, folks, good morning again. This is the third week of Advent. It is the candle in the wreath is pink. You'll notice that there's a difference. But you also notice as we go into our worship service this morning, perhaps you haven't thought about it, or perhaps you do remember it from previous Sundays and Advent worship services that Brother Pat and Brother Hoyt brought to you. We light the candles of hope. Context of the Good Shepherd. His eye is always on us. And if we truly stop and think about that, it should bring us great joy. And I'm not going to refer to the 23rd Psalm as much today, but as we think about Jesus Christ as our Good Shepherd, and as all of the references that we've already sang about with the shepherds, and how the good news came first to the shepherds of Jesus being born, I want to share a previous reading that we had about the shepherd. And think about a shepherd's role. Think about Jesus. And think about those things that bring you joy in your life. While traveling in Iran, writer Eric Bishop asked a villager about an earthen enclosure topped with dry thorns. The man said sheep stay in the round space at night for safety. What are the thorns for? Bishop asked. If a wolf tries to break in and attack the sheep, the man replied, he'll knock against the thorns and they will make a noise and the shepherd will wake up and drive off the wolf. Pointing out the enclosure's doorless entrance, the bishop asked why a wolf wouldn't enter through the opening. Why not there? Because, replied the villager, that's where the shepherd sleeps. The shepherd is the door. Just as Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, I am the door. All who enter in come by me. Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who would eventually lay down his life for the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. When you think about the care that God provides for us through Jesus Christ, it should bring us great joy. So, as Brother Terry prayed, as we are now deep into this Christmas season, it's just a few days away. What brings you joy this time of year? You know, the commercialization is not what it's about. Matter of fact, that can make us despondent and rob us of our joy. But that should not be our focus. As and I were talking, normally we turn and come in from behind the church, and this time we went up to the traffic light and turned right and come down South Ponce de Leon. And sometimes you see the same faces of people that are walking by or running by. They have no inclination to be in church. But you do. God has given that desire in your heart. He has given us the gift of faith to want to come to worship. In a world that is consumed with commercialism, we know that there's something so much more. And we are here today to worship the Lord. You see, today is really starting to be the culmination of all of these things that God prophesied and promised to us. They're all beginning to come true. And today we're going to read a lot about the Christmas story, and I hope we can just drink it all in and absorb it and learn from it and see the reasons that we need to be joyful, even with our small congregation today, because I think there's a parallel to what we'll read and focus on in the Scriptures. Now, there's going to be a lot of reading of the Scriptures this morning. And yeah, I know it's on the PowerPoint. If you have your Bibles, please turn with us. But also, I want you to keep what's printed in your bulletin so we can refer back to it. Because when we read our responsive reading, this was the encounter of the angel Gabriel with Mary. And we saw the way Mary responded. Okay? Now I want us to turn over to the responsive reading was taken from Luke. Now we're going to pick up from that. That was our starting point. We're going to start reading this morning from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And if we stop right there for just a moment, folks, it tells you the nature of Joseph. You know, back at that type of the world, the societies were very patriarchal. And he could have, just knowing that Mary was pregnant, he could have publicly made an example of her. That was in the rites of the time. It's foreign to us, and we don't, you know, say, how could that be? But, you know, we only go back 100, we don't even have to go back 100 years ago. You go back 40 years ago when a teenager in high school was suddenly going to have a baby. They went to live with a relative, so it was kind of kept quiet. So it's not that foreign to us. This speaks to the character that Joseph had. He did not want to make an example. He thought it would be best to put her away secretly. But while he, starting up in verse 20, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if you think for just a moment right here, this angel, it doesn't specify it here, but the angel that appeared to Mary was Gabriel. It was Gabriel. Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of the Lord. I believe this is Gabriel that's appearing to Joseph as well. But he is making a proclamation. It is a promise. Read it again. For he will save his people from his sins. Matter of fact, if you think about it and you link it back to that very first promise that we have of deliverance back in Genesis, that when God himself was talking to Satan, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Folks, now it's coming to pass. It's all starting to come together. All of those prophecies from the Old Testament, Jesus is almost here. And the angel is making this proclamation and this promise to Joseph. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Folks, that prophecy, that promise is fulfilled. Now, if we just stop right here in our lives and we think about all the things that we have been given throughout the history of our life, all of the loved ones from our parents and grandparents on up, everybody that had anything to do with our lives, all that sustaining support, think of how God has provided for us, how blessed we are. When we think about God's promises, folks, we have proof of them being fulfilled. That knowledge and that understanding, it gives us, we lit the first candle of hope. You see, when we hope and trust in God, it gives us something to recognize that is greater than ourselves, that's not hindered by our inabilities. And that brings us peace when we trust. So when we hope and we have peace in our heart and we trust, it gives us reason to have joy because we know that his promises will come to be. They will come to pass. All we have to do is look back at our lives and see how God has been with us. Yes, we've had ups and downs. We've had hard times. But the Lord does not abandon His people. The Lord is with us always. And it should give us joy. The promises were fulfilled, even up to this proclamation that Gabriel's making. And now look what he does. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, if we go back to our responsive reading, there's two similarities here, okay? The angel appeared to Mary. The angel appeared to Joseph. Joseph was from the lineage of David. Mary, from research, is from the lineage of Aaron's wives, and it comes down both into Jesus being born. But Joseph and Mary, you would say, were common people. There was nothing extraordinary about them. They were not priests or anything like that. But what did they do? They believed. They believed the angel and they were obedient. Now I want you to think about for just a moment in your life. And folks, this should hit home. It does for me. And sometimes we think, okay, well, what applies to me applies to others. And oftentimes that does, but sometimes it doesn't. But I think this does. Have you ever prayed for something? And you pray and you pray and it seems like it's never going to happen and then it happens and then you can't believe it? You don't want to receive it? You think, no, well, all these changes, what's going to happen now? And you get doubtful and you get uncertain. But yet you prayed. And God answers prayers. So I want you to think about that context. Has that ever been you? Have you ever had a prayer answered and then you didn't know how to deal with it? Mary and Joseph, they didn't understand. But that didn't stop them from being obedient and doing what the angel told them to do. Now let's continue. And I want you to think about that as we read this next section, okay? Picking up in the Gospel of Luke now. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And just to make clarification, she is related to Mary. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now I want to stop there for just a moment, just to insert here, between the responsive readings and the angel appearing to Mary and to Joseph and now to Zacharias, we have had this statement, do not fear. Do not fear. A few Sundays ago, in my research, I made the comment that the Bible says, do not be afraid 365 times. Every day we're given. Do not fear. Aren't we in the Good Shepherd's care? You see, that's to give us joy. Now, back to this part of our story. The angel is bringing, what news the angel is bringing to who are now too advanced in age, older people? Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have great joy and gladness. Joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Folks, these words are important. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fatherless to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered him and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Folks, stop right there. God speaks to us. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let brotherly love continue, because sometimes we entertain angels unaware. God comes and speaks to his people. And we need to remember that. He speaks to us mostly now through his word. He speaks to us when we pray. And it's in that little quiet still voice. God speaks to his people. The prayers of Zacharias and his wife, a good and honorable and just couple. The Lord sent Gabriel to him to answer his prayers and to bring him these glad tidings. And he said, let me read that again. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Now, how do you compare that? I just want to ask. Does anything strike you for just a moment? Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were devoted to God. He was a priest in the temple. How do you compare him to Mary and to Joseph? Mary and Joseph were just ordinary people, but yet they believed. Now we have Zacharias, who was a priest. He was older. And Gabriel is telling him something that seemed to be beyond his comprehension. And he did not believe. And because he did not believe, he was struck mute without the ability to speak until John would be born. He's forfeited some of that joy. Gabriel said, "I'm bringing you glad tidings of great joy." But he did not believe. Folks, does religion ever get in the way of you believing God? When you look at all the sanctimonious and parading around that some people do in the name of religion, I would say yes, it can get in the way and it can turn people off. But folks, for the child of God who believes with all their heart and soul, all that shouldn't make any difference. The commercialism and all of the things that pull us away from worshiping God in the way Christmas is celebrated now, we need to be able to separate that. We need to be able to focus on the full meaning of Christmas, which is that Jesus was born. And that should be bringing us joy. Gabriel brought great joy. But you see, he doubted. Now, we all have our doubts. He was telling, yes, you're an old man, but you're about to be a father. Why didn't he just jump up and down and start rejoicing? He saw an angel. All his prayers were going to be answered. You see, folks, joy starts with unhindered belief and trust in God. That's where true joy originates from. When, regardless of what the world tells us, we believe and trust in God. We hope in God. When we have hope in God and we believe His Word, hope and faith are connected together. It gives us peace. We lit the hope and the peace candles, and hope and peace combined should bring us joy. Because we may not understand it, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen. Just like it was true with Zacharias and Elizabeth. But folks, we need to take the greater example for Mary and Joseph, who were common, ordinary people who believed and trusted and were obedient. Joy starts with unhindered belief and trust in God. And if you notice, Gabriel said, "I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to you for a reason." to bring you glad tidings. Those glad tidings. His prayers were answered. Folks, when you are praying and you see suddenly have that prayer answered, don't doubt it. Praise God for it. Don't be ungrateful. Praise God, because He has heard you. Remember His promises when you doubt. Remember that what Proverbs tells us, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Zacharias couldn't understand how this could happen. But does that mean because we don't know how or don't understand that we should doubt God? No. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. Very similar to what David said in the 23rd Psalm. He leads me in pathways of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, folks, for God's children, it might be rocky and difficult. It may be a struggle. But all of our pathways ultimately lead to Jesus Christ. Pathways of righteousness. And we'll get into that in a few more weeks. But when you have an answered prayer, be thankful for it. When you don't understand, but you trust in God's promises, believe Him. And Philippians tells us, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Mary didn't understand. Joseph didn't understand. Zacharias didn't understand. But Mary and Joseph believed and were faithful. Zacharias did not. You see, the status that we hold in life is no reflection of how strong our faith is. Jesus said the weak will be first and the great will be last. Sometimes the great don't have enough faith, but we see that example of faith through those people that we consider smaller and less important. Be thankful for the gift of faith you have. Be thankful for Jesus Christ. Your knowledge of Him, your understanding, your desire to be here. All of that, when you know, we take it for granted, but when we start compressing it down into that circle of understanding, it should bring us joy. Now let's keep moving in this Christmas story, because all this is beginning to bring to the culmination of Jesus being born. Continuing on, we're going to jump down to Luke, we're still in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, beginning in verses 39 through 45. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." And folks, just to say again, Elizabeth and Mary were related. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" A lot's going on here in this proclamation and declaration that Elizabeth is making. So as we focus on joy, I want to point out just seven things here. And it deals with mostly about what's just occurred. Mary went to visit her aunt Elizabeth. They're both pregnant. Notice in verse 41, seven things to consider as we look at joy. First one, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 41, it says. She is filled with the Holy Spirit too. The second thing, John was filled with the Holy Spirit, the baby, inside her womb. That's up in verse 15. Gabriel said when he was making this declaration to Zacharias that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And now it's happening. See, what Gabriel predicted months before is coming to fulfillment right now. The Holy Spirit is on Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit is in John, still in her womb. And the baby leaped for joy. And number three thing I want you to notice is you think about joy. You think about joy in your life. You think about joy in the church. You see, Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit too. That's how she conceived. If we go back up to what we read earlier in Matthew, in chapter 1, verse 20, she conceived by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is involved in all this that's occurring right now. And I want you to start thinking about your life in the Holy Spirit too. The fourth thing I want you to, as you think about that, is, did this ever occur to you as you read this story? It's so easy to gloss over some of these things. Elizabeth called Mary the mother of her Lord. How did Elizabeth know this? We can go back up to verse 43 and read it. The Lord had revealed it to Elizabeth is the answer. How did Elizabeth know that Mary would be the mother of Jesus, who would be her Lord? God had to reveal that to her. The Holy Spirit, folks, reveals things to us. The gift of faith is a gift from the Lord. The Holy Spirit within you is a gift from the Lord. Elizabeth knew things that she could not have known any other way. And yet now she's saying it out loud. How could this be, and why was this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord would visit me. She's thankful that Mary had come. And she's making that known. The Lord had revealed to Elizabeth that Jesus, who Jesus was and who he would be. And you see, she was filled with joy. She was overflowing with joy, Elizabeth was. Elizabeth said Mary was blessed because Mary believed what the Lord told her. Let's go back up and read that one more time, or I'll read it to you. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she," and that refers to Mary, who believed the angel Gabriel, "for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary believed these things. Folks, we have the gift of faith. Don't we believe? Don't you take it for granted, our gift of faith? When all these other people are running around out here, does it ever dawn on you to be thankful that, Lord, you allowed me to be here? Elizabeth was saying, why was this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord, Mary, who would be upheld and glorified herself, would come and visit me? She was thankful. Elizabeth and Mary were blessed because they believed the Lord. But now I want you to think about something else. If you were in that house, small little house, just like us today, their house may not have been as big as this sanctuary, I don't know. But there weren't that many people there. Just like us today, it was a small gathering. But if you were in that house, what would you notice? See, in that house, we find great faith. The faith of Mary and Elizabeth, and we find great joy. The house was filled with joy. It was filled with faith. But now this is what I really want you to think about. In that house, have you ever considered that house that was filled with great faith? There were two persons of the Trinity in that house. The Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Holy Spirit. They were there. Jesus Christ himself and the Holy Spirit were in there. God's only begotten Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that was on John and on Elizabeth and on Mary. That house was filled with joy, folks, and ours should be too, because we know that the Holy Spirit is within us, don't we? It doesn't matter how many people we have here. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 18? "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So right here and right now, we have the Holy Spirit and we have Jesus with us. And folks, that should bring us great joy. And if it's not bringing you great joy, either your thoughts are just somewhere else this morning, or you're like Zacharias and you just plain don't believe all the things that good things that the Lord gives us. We are in the Good Shepherd's care. And folks, that should bring us great joy. So where are your hearts today? As Brother Terry prayed, I hope it's not in the commercialism of the season. I hope it's in thinking that all of these promises of a coming Savior is now here. That Jesus Christ is about to be born. You know, when we're in the presence of the Lord, how does it make you fear? Think for just a moment. Do you become a little fearful? I kind of do. You know, when you're a child and you think, somebody says, you know, your parents can see you. How did you feel? Well, our Father can see us too. And He sees you here this day. I pray that that gives you joy because you are here to worship Him. We should be filled with joy because we remember the promises and the prophecies. If we read all of these promises, they're coming true. Now, we're just about to close, folks. I know I'm going a little over. Now I'm back to Matthew 1, 20 through 21. I just want to remind you of another promise. Think about this promise and prophecy that Gabriel gave to Joseph. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Now, when it gets down to us, and sometimes, you know, people get pretty emotional at the Christmas season. And I'm going to go into this more next Sunday as we finalize it all. Because we just think that we're not worthy of all the wonderful things and the blessings that God extends to His people because we start seeing ourselves sometimes as the sinners of what we are. You know, that's an emotional thing when we look at ourselves through the prism of being unworthy. It's a sad thing. It can bring us down. But we have a promise here. The child Jesus would save His people from their sins. And folks, that should bring us great joy. Because it's not about us. It's about our faith in Jesus. You see, we can't be like Zacharias and be doubtful. Because we know in us there is no good thing except the gift of faith the Lord has given us. And when that gift of faith is strong and the Holy Spirit is burning bright in us, we can do all things through Jesus. And we need to remember that He is looking down on us. Yes, He sees us. We are always under the Good Shepherd's care. When we believe that He shall save us from our sins, it should make us filled with joy. Because you know what? There is another life beyond this one. There is a life where our faith will enable us to be with our true Father in heaven above. You know, the sadness of this world can sometimes make us despair. But we cannot allow that to rob us of our joy. Why do we have joy? We have joy because of Jesus. Because He loves us. Folks, that's an irrefutable theme throughout the entire Bible. Why did Jesus come? He came to redeem His people. In Romans, we are told by the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from His great love. Jesus came to save us from our sins because He loves us. And folks, nothing can separate us from that love. So because you have that gift of faith, you need to know without any uncertainty that you are a child of God, and that should bring you great joy. Be you a little one, be you a big one like Zacharias, it doesn't matter. You are a child of God, and it should bring you great joy. And now, folks, I want to tell you, if you have that joy in your heart, you've been given the gift of faith, and if you believe, you need to be sharing that with other people. You need to be sharing that faith that you have and the reason for it, which is Jesus Christ. And it should be bringing you joy. And if you're not, I'm going to tell you, you need to take a pause in your life and go before the Lord in prayer and say, open my eyes. Help me focus on you, Lord, and not this worldliness. Focus on Him. And share every reason that you have, because spreading your faith and the love that you have will bring joy to other people. And there's proof in it right here in this last passage as we close. Because you see, when this was fulfilled, when John was born, dropping down to Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 58, look at what happens. Now, Elizabeth's full time had came right there. Stop for a second. Elizabeth, we don't know how old she was, but she had a baby. She, all those many years, she could not have a baby, but now she has. She's having a baby. Full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And that son was John the Baptist. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. You see, the neighbors heard. People told about it. And they were joyful for her. They rejoiced with her. Folks, telling other people about God and the things He blesses us with will make other people happy too. And we'll be spreading the joy of all the reasons that we have for Christmas. They rejoiced with her. Spread your reasons of joy with other people. It will make a difference in their life. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ and why He came. Because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe. And there's no other qualifier there other than whomsoever shall believe. Spread that joy, that good news of Christmas with other people. It will make a difference. And what... And you know, I think I've made this comment before. We enjoy giving presents, but it doesn't match the joy of when we, especially when they're little, we look at our children and we've given them something and they are just to see the fun filling their lives in the joy. It's better to give than to receive. Let that joy fill your hearts by sharing your faith with somebody else, and especially if you are blessed to see that recognition dawn on them and joy fill their hearts. That's a blessing better than anything else that we can share with other people this year. We couldn't give a gift that would equal that than to bring to another person's life the reason that we hope, the reason that we have peace, the reason that we have joy, the story of Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. And I pray that you will have a joyful week.